16 chapter of the book of Acts. Starting in verse number 16. And it came to pass, as they went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed by a spirit of divination, met us, and brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or fortune telling. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." This did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when his masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made fast their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling, and what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places. And ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine utterance this morning. I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father to us, your people, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Now, we're still on our subject of positioning ourselves for the suddenlies of God. Now, I want us to see just a little teeny bit different angle of it today. Because a lot of times we're positioning because we're wanting God to do something. But there's times that God is doing something and he needs you to be in that position. Now, this is where Paul and Silas found themselves. They were being obedient to the call of God. They were sharing the message of the gospel. And in the course of sharing the message of the gospel, there's this young girl that follows them. Now, she is a soothsayer, is what the word calls it, or fortune teller. And she keeps making this statement. These are servants of the Most High God. These are servants of the Most High God. These are servants of the Most High God. Now, there's something that's being accomplished that a lot of times that goes right on over our heads. Her masters gain much money by her fortune telling. It would be almost like the psychic hotline following you around. And that was what was being communicated. And saying something, these are servants of the Most High God. Now this didn't happen just one day. It didn't just happen just one time. It happened, for Scripture said, for days. Why didn't Paul do something about it the first day? Is that a fair question? Why didn't he do something about it the first day? Why was it days before he did something about it? And I'm going to say because that was when the Spirit of God received, that he perceived what the Spirit of God was saying. They said something, there was a word that was described in here that says that he was grieved. He was grieved because he knew something was going on that wasn't right. See, when something is going on that's right, there's always a peace that follows it. But there was something that was uneasy inside of him, in his spirit man, and that uneasiness, this grief that he was feeling, he perceives what the Holy Ghost. See, sometimes we're not quite as quick to pick up on what he's putting down. And he wants us to be quick at picking up. And I'm not here to find fault with Paul and Silas this morning. Please don't think that that's what I'm saying. Because there's something that I have found, and this was a profound statement that I made to us on a Wednesday night. And that was this: you ain't got it until you got it. And once you got it, you won't have to ask nobody if you got it. But because when a revelation comes and you know that you got it, you ain't got to have nobody to tell you, "Hey, I believe you got it." No, you can look at your face. You can look at your eyes, because something lights up when you got it. And Paul got it. He was grieved, but he got it. Through being grieved, was part of the light coming on for him to take care of this. So it's almost like this girl is trying to, through the bad press, her masters are being promoted. The kingdom of darkness is being promoted. Yeah, she's picking up on these are servants of the Most High God. That ain't the press that he was after. See, God always operates in truth. He's always above board. He ain't got to go to some shady-eyed place to find out somebody to read some cards, read your palm, tell your fortune, get your money. God's got a way of getting it across to you without going through all of those things. In fact, in the Old Testament, people that did those things were put to death. But a lot of times in our culture, it's all justified. Now, that's not my message this morning. My message is on positioning ourselves for the suddenlies of God. Because here, they were doing the right thing, and it seems like everything was breaking out against them. But brothers and sisters, there's something that we need to realize is that God is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And even though things don't look favorable, God's got a way of doing some things. And what he was doing in here, I guarantee you, Paul and Silas had no clue, even though they were servants of the Most High God. And even though God, through his Spirit, had revealed to them that they were servants of the Most High God, that they found themselves beaten, and nobody likes to be beaten. They found themselves talked about. Nobody likes to be talked about. But then to put the icing on the cake, they were thrown into the jail. And not just the jail, the innermost part of the jail. And not just into the innermost part of the jail, but their feet and all in stocks. So they were quite uncomfortable. Their feet hurt, their back hurt, their ego hurt. About everything that you can think of was hurting. But they did something. Now, I'm talking about positioning ourselves for the suddenlies of God. And God showing up in times when you would least expect him to be there. They started doing something. They didn't do like most people would do. They didn't start griping and complaining. Can't believe it. Here we are preaching the gospel, and now we've been beat. I thought God would have got us out of this. I thought he wouldn't let us receive all of this persecution. Do we have any scripture for this? Blessed are you when you're persecuted. And people speak all manner. Yeah, but that ain't the church. We don't do that. We don't participate in that scripture in church. That's not the one we're after. We like them other ones better. Well, I guarantee you, they like that other ones better too. But they found themselves in a place where they were persecuted for the gospel. They were beaten for the gospel. Now, what will you do and what will I do with this gospel? If somebody threatens to beat us, will we shut up? If somebody threatens to throw us in jail, will we shut up? If they threaten to talk about us, will we shut up? Or is our voice the voice of God? We're going to use this voice because I am a child of God. Now, we sing all of the Christmas songs about the sweet little baby in the manger. And thank God for the sweet little baby that's in the manger. But I want you to know, Paul and Silas were standing up for this sweet baby right here that had grown into a full-grown man and was their redeemer. And they preached the word of God. And the people said, they're bringing customs in here. It's messing up our whole town. It's messing up everything that's going on with the way that our culture has been. Because it's been all right for us to do these things. It's been all right for us to go around and have these our fortunes read by this girl. It's okay. You come on over to Madam So-and-so's house, and she'll read your stuff. And she'll tell you what's coming down. And God says, don't you go. My word forbids that for you. That's not the way things are supposed to operate. Yeah, but everybody does this. Or you can call us on the psychic hotline. And we can tell you what you need to know. And God says, don't you mess with that stuff. You know, one of the sad thing of it is church folks slip into stuff like that. Not just people that's in the world. Because there's a lot of times that people in the church is looking for answers. But how many of you ever heard this song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. And people looking for answers in all the wrong places. I told Sandy the other day, because we were talking about somebody and they're pursuing, they would like to have a mate. People that single would like, a lot of them would like to have a mate. But one of the things that happens is they're looking for a mate in all the wrong places. I said, you're not going to find the mate that you're supposed to have in those places that you're looking. God's called us out of darkness into light. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. There's something that we're supposed to be carrying. There's something we're supposed to be demonstrating. Are we positioning ourselves for these suddenlies? Because when God brings somebody across your path, are you going to have the answer when the Holy Ghost prompts you to talk to this person? Or are we going to be just that dark that don't shine no light for them to be able to see? God wants us to be our part and to do our part. Because He's positioning not only for us to receive suddenlies, but so that we can be used in the suddenlies. Now, I want to portray this morning in this message, because here they are carrying the gospel message, and now they're in a place that they'd rather not be in. Do you think God knew that they were going to get thrown in that jail? Do you think these things slip up on him that he's not aware of? But they chose to do something. Even though they found themselves in a situation that they would rather not be in, the Bible tells us that at midnight, they started to sing and praise God. They began to sing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Because a lot of times what we want to do, we want to bring glory to God, but we don't want to have no voice. God needs a voice. Because there was getting ready to be a suddenly that was going to happen of the most unusual kind. Because they lifted up their voices and they praised God. I guarantee you, it wasn't one of those times that said, you sit around the table and says, let's have silent prayer tonight. Let's have silent singing. Let's have silent praising. There's too many times that this silent stuff has happened in the church when he wants us to have a voice. And the reason that he wants us to have a voice is not just so that we can hear it, and not just so that the devil can hear it, so that others can hear it. So they lifted up their voices and they gave praise to God, and something happened. God moves on the scene. You know, in most cases, when you hear about an earthquake, you can put it in the right category, because an earthquake that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, where's that come from? That's a pretty slow answer, that one. Where does that one come from? See, this is not an earthquake that we know, that we're used to. Because this earthquake, all it did was shook the jail and opened the doors up. I don't find many here of many earthquakes like this taking place. Most of the earthquakes that we hear taking place are ones that are massive destruction. Lives are taken. People's homes are destroyed. Cities are wiped out. Things of that sort. But in this one, there's a shaking, an earthquake, the Bible says, and the doors just come ajar. Could you see that? Could you read that in, if that happened in your car? Today, you know, I never thought that I would be able to use anything like this preaching. In fact, when the car started putting it on the screen, it says, door ajar, door ajar. Hey, your door's ajar. And I said, what? When you're not used to seeing that, I'm used to it now and it's become natural. But when they first started coming out and the thing said, your door's ajar, we ain't never used a jar before. Did you go around and tell people, hey, your door's ajar? There was so much fun that was made out of that. It's a normal thing now. But it wasn't a normal thing then. And the jail keeper, he's got it on his screen. Door ajar. Uh-oh, all of the doors are ajar. Not only all of the doors are ajar, but first thought, prisoner's escaping. He draws his sword out. Going to take his life. And Peter says something. I wonder why he says something. You ever thought about that? Why does he say something? It's dark. First thing pops in his heart, in his mind, he said, he's getting ready to take his life. The Holy Ghost is saying, prepare him for a suddenly. See, they were prepared, they were positioning for a suddenly, but now they were getting ready to be used in a suddenly, in a way that they had never had any inclination that it would come down this way. And they cry out with a loud voice. And he says, do yourself no harm. Because he knew that he would have to pay with his life if those prisoners escaped. And now they're free. But they're still in these jail cells. They could have got up and walked away. But God had a bigger plan. God had a bigger plan than what they were anticipating. And he calls for a light. And he comes in. Paul and Silas and all the prisoners are still right there. Not moved out of their place. And this positioning did something, because when he comes in, he falls on his knees before them, because he's fallen on his knees before God, because he knows good and well this ain't some natural run-of-the-mill occurrence that's just happened. He says to them, "What must I do to be saved?" How would we be, if that was us in that place, would we be ready for that suddenly? We want the suddenly to come to us. But what about when God wants to use you in the suddenly to come to them? See, that's the flip side of the suddenly. Because God's going to be bringing people across your path. You can mark it down. I'm going to prophesy and speak it out right now. There's going to be people that are coming across your path. And God's got a message for you to give to them. He wants to use you, because he said two things about us. Ye are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth. And we're in a day and hour when the things out here on the outside are getting darker. And he needs us to be the light. We're not the source of light. We're reflectors of the light. The light source was that baby that was laying in the manger. Was the Son of God that came on the scene. Was that Son of God that hung on the cross. Was that Son of God that rose triumphant over the dead. Was the Son of God that ascended to the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us today, whose blood is crying out, "Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven, mercy, mercy, mercy." And this jailer, he didn't know all of this. I was just going to work today, because that was his job. But that particular night, God had an encounter for him. A suddenly that Paul and Silas had no inkling to expect that. The jailer had no inkling that that suddenly would ever take place like that in his life. Let me ask you this. Did it make an impact on him? Let me ask you this. Would it make an impact on you? If it would make an impact on you and it made an impact on him, do you think God can use you just like he used Paul and Silas to make an impact on somebody else's life? Ye are. Say with me. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. Now, we are to be bold enough to be able to say that. We are not sitting there with a shut mouth when the Bible says, ye are. Because this is where we identify with him. When he says, ye are, we should be one of those. That's the ye shall people that he's talking about. We need to be quick to respond to him. Because if we're not quick to respond to him, we are quick to miss it. That's good preaching right there. I'm just going to play it safe. No, you ain't playing it safe. We're setting ourselves in position to miss God. Because he's wanting to do some suddenlies. Would we want these suddenlies to be done to us? Oh, yes. Bring them on. I want these suddenlies. He says, yeah, I want you to be used in working this suddenly. Because God had his sights on this jailer, and not only on the jailer, but his whole family. I don't know if it can be proved out from history. It probably can. But this is one of the things that I have heard. But I myself can't prove it. But I have heard that this jailer became the pastor of the church in Philippi. I can see it. I can see from a natural standpoint how it could shake out just like that. That God saw the heart of this man. God saw the heart of his family. And he said not only was he saved, but his whole family got saved. Was it worth the beating? Was it worth the misunderstanding? Was it worth the persecution? I guarantee you, Paul and Silas said, "Lord, we count it an honor to have been used for your glory." You see those stripes that were on their back? They were scars of obedience to God. They weren't scars of running from God. They were scars of running for God. Positioning ourselves for the suddenlies. Kurt, did you ever come up with that song?
Yes.
I want you to play it right now. Close your eyes. Listen to this.
Show me.
Jesse, did you know? That your son would kill Goliath? All through scriptures, God has used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We're just as ordinary as you can get. Paul and Silas were just as ordinary as you could get. But God used them because they made themselves available. Brothers and sisters, the suddenlies that He is positioning us for are suddenlies that we are submitting ourselves to His will. That my will becomes His will. My desire is His desire. Doing His will is my happy place. Doing His will is where I long to be. And His happy place is to be able to use you as the salt of the earth and as the light of this world. And He wants us to shine. This was a simple picture this morning of Paul and Silas shining in a dark place. And I heard this beautiful saying not long ago, just a few days ago, said, anytime that your light is shining or you bring light in a dark place, you're preaching the gospel. Anytime you're bringing light in a dark place, you're preaching the gospel. So anything that's small, don't think that it's not of value. And anything that's larger, don't think that God can't use it. Just let's make ourselves available to Him to be able to be used as the salt and the light. Not knowing how all of the outcomes are going to work out. Even though Mary knew that Jesus was the divine Son of God, I guarantee you there was a lot of different things that she didn't factor into the equation. When those suddenly showed up, I guarantee you she was put her hand over her mouth and say, ah, just like what we were. Now, that same nature, the nature of God is in us as born again ones. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit live in us, and the person of the Holy Spirit residing inside of us. You carry a whole lot more than you think that you have. And you can do a whole lot more in the hand of God than you think that you can do. Stand with me. Would you be as bold as the prophet Isaiah, who said, here am I, use me. Would you say that with me this morning? Here am I, use me. Now we're setting a course. We're positioning ourselves because we're not very much time left in the year 2023. And 2024 is right at the gate. Right at the door. I believe that 2024 is going to be a year or more. Amen. Are we willing to give more of ourselves to receive the more of God? Amen? Amen. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for the honor. I thank you for the honor to be in your house. I thank you for the honor to hear your word. I thank you for the honor to share your word. Father, I want to say with my mouth, I make myself available to you to be positioned for these subjects. I place myself in your hands. Holy Spirit, use me as you see fit. I want the Father glorified in my life. I speak your blessing over us as we go. In the name of Jesus, amen.